Our final scripture this morning comes from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. And you will find this on page 1095 of your pew Bibles. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge in the needy, for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners as the heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the best meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, who will remove the disgrace from his people for all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. We live in a unique time. We live in a time that if you just look at numbers and statistics, I'm not going to get into the discussions of specifics here, but if you just look at the whole, we live in one of the safest times in human history. We live in one of the most peaceful and least violent times in human history. This is not to say that there aren't pockets of our world that don't exist in this peace. But as a whole, and especially in the United States, we live in a time of mostly peace. I'm not saying that there's not tensions in our country. I'm not saying that there aren't problems that we need to deal with. I'm not saying the divides aren't growing larger and larger. But as a whole, as a people living in a country, we live in relative peace. But why I say it is a weird time or a unique time is because we live in relative peace, but we live in great fear. We live in a time where maybe the world or maybe the media or maybe our leaders have created a situation where we live in peace, but we are scared constantly. We live in constant fear. I started this habit, and I started literally the weekend I came to candidate with you guys, that I would make sure that I checked CNN and Fox News and Reuters and every other news site that I could think of that I had time to check before I walked into the sanctuary on Sunday. Because if you remember, that Sunday was the Sunday that the violence in Charlottesville happened. So I made it a habit. I started that week a habit to make sure that I checked every Sunday just to make sure that there wasn't something for me to address. And this Sunday, nothing spectacular, nothing different, but at the top of CNN.com is a giant picture of Kim Jong-un and a giant picture of Donald Trump, President Trump, and just the threats that they've been throwing at each other. Kim Jong-un's today was that Donald Trump is asking for war. That was his words today. And that was the top. The top of the page was nothing but this conflict. And the Bowers have a unique connection to it. But even in that, that is there to rile up fear, to rile up frustration. And at times it seems intentional that there's so much fear that we are designed, we are being forced to do nothing but fear. And I find that very interesting with this passage. That word, and I wasn't prepared for this, I didn't read that translation, I guess, that word ruthless in there, most other translations translate it as tyrant. But the best literal translation is terror-striking master. A master who strikes terror into the heart of those that are overcome. Remember a little bit about this passage in Isaiah. If you read the passage right before this, chapter 24 is about how everything is going to come crashing down, how everything that they know is going to be destroyed, the temple is going to be destroyed, everything in their lives, literally and figuratively, is going to be left in ruin. If you think about what happens after this, is they are captured by the Babylonians and put into exile. They have this experience of terror-striking masters taking them over. They're under the rule, the thumb of tyrants, of ruthless leaders, of terror-striking masters. Another way to put that is, the terrorists attack them, and the terrorists win, and the terrorists become their masters. This passage doesn't make that okay. This passage from 25 does not say, oh, it's fine that this happens. This passage from 25 does not negate the pain that they are going to feel. This passage from 25 does not make it all okay. It doesn't say you're not going to experience pain. It doesn't say you are not going to experience the darkness of this world. It does not say that what is going to happen will not happen. But it gives something to hold on to despite it. It gives something to hold on to despite the pain that is coming. Yes, this world is dark, but there is something better to come. We often say hope for tomorrow, but for me, this isn't hope for tomorrow, because for the Israelites, tomorrow is the Babylonians coming in and destroying everything. This isn't hope for tomorrow. This is hope for after tomorrow, because tomorrow will be awful. Tomorrow will be terrible. And we're not talking days, but what is to come will be awful. This is hope for getting through what is to come. And by getting through, I mean not even necessarily getting through with your life of what is to come, but what comes after. Hope into something in eternity. Because this is a broken world. The Israelites were going to find out in a very real way just how broken that this world is. But this passage in chapter 25 gives them hope into something beyond this broken world. I said this morning that the top of CNN.com was Donald Trump, President Trump, and Kim Jong-un. Multiple days this week, that has been the case. The war drums are being beaten by our leaders. I said we live in peace, but some of our fear is real. I have friends who grew up in Sudan. Their fear is real. One of them has returned to do mission work and outreach. His fear is real. There are things to fear on this earth. And in our own country, tensions are getting stronger. Divides between people are getting longer. Things can only get so tight. The rubber band can only be stretched so far before it snaps. Chaos may ensue. We live in relative peace today, but tomorrow may not be that case. Tomorrow may be when it all comes crashing down, or the next day, or the next day. I can't give you hope that this world is going to repair itself. I hope that we do. I hope that Christians and their small ways can help to heal this world. But I can't give you real hope that this world will be healed. But I can give you hope into something better, into eternity. Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are given this finest food. We are given this salvation. We are given this hope. And we gather here together to celebrate that hope. So that is something to hold on to. Hold on to that hope. Like the Israelites, the world may get worse. Like the Israelites, the peace and stability that we have built might come crashing down. Like the Israelites, maybe the world around you personally has already come crashing down. But there is hope for after tomorrow. Because even if this world is not fixed, even if you continue to experience pain in this world, and I do not want to reduce that, I do not want to downplay that, that is real. But there is hope into tomorrow, the next tomorrow. Hope into after tomorrow. Hope into after it all comes crashing down. Hope into eternity. We have been given that meal of finest food through Jesus Christ. So let us worship and hope of eternity, and hope of being saved, and hope of that new heaven and that new earth beyond war and pain, and hope of God's love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.